From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today we bring another in a series of studies in the book of Romans, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. Dr. Cairns will be with us in just a few minutes. First, we invite your attention to this devotional thought taken from Faith's Checkbook by the great 19th century English preacher C.H. Spurgeon. Our devotional for today is entitled Servants Honored. The text is Proverbs 27 and verse 18. Whoso keepeth the fig tree shall eat the fruit thereof, so he that waiteth on his master shall be honored. He who tends the fig tree has figs for his pains, and he who waits on a good master has honor as his reward. Truly, the Lord Jesus is the very best of masters, and it is an honor to be allowed to do the least act for his sake. To serve some lords is to watch over a crab tree and eat the crabs as one's wages. But to serve my Lord Jesus is to keep a fig tree of the sweetest figs. His service is in itself delight. Continuance in it is promotion. Success in it is blessedness below. And the reward for it is glory above. Our greatest honors will be gathered in that season when the figs will be ripe, even in the next world. Angels who are now our servitors will bear us home when our day's work is done. Heaven, where Jesus is, will be our honorable mansion, eternal bliss our honorable portion, and the Lord Himself our honorable companion. Who can imagine the full meaning of this promise? He that waiteth on his master shall be honored. Lord, help me to wait upon my master. Let me leave all idea of honor to the hour when thou thyself shalt honor me. May the Holy Spirit make me a lowly, patient worker and waiter.
Passion consume us as to the truth we hold.
keep our hearts turned toward the prize.
With patience and endurance, the cross standing firm in our eyes. Keep the race before us,
and reward us, Lord, by your grace.
With crowns of righteousness from the righteous judge, when we finish the race.
Among the great classics of Christian literature, A.W. Tozer's The Pursuit of God is remarkable for its impact on the lives of countless believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. The product of a lifelong passion for knowing God in an intimate, soul-refreshing relationship, this small volume exposes the roadblocks that keep us from fully knowing God, reveals our responsibility of the pursuit, and ultimately leads us into the very presence of God Himself. Some of the chapter titles include Following Hard After God, Restoring the Creator-Creature Relation, and The Sacrament of Living. As you read and study Tozer's penetrating insights, you will learn the meaning of Paul's words in Philippians 3, verse 10, that I may know Him. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer complete reprints of this timeless devotional help, free of charge. For your copy of The Pursuit of God, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your free copy of The Pursuit of God, and we'll be glad to provide it. As he proceeds with this study of the book of Romans, Dr. Cairns returns to the theme of God's judgment as set forth in chapter 2 of the epistle. In the previous message, he concentrated upon the declaration of the truth of God's judgment. Now the text is verse 2, which says, "But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things." In the course of this message, Dr. Cairns will explain the development of this truth about judgment. Although the Jews were proud of their efforts to observe God's law, they failed to realize that outward performance of religious rituals could not save them. What they needed was a complete change of heart, as does every sinner, Jew or Gentile. Now here's Dr. Cairns to introduce this message, Judgment According to Truth.
Now let's turn to Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2. And though we read the first five verses last week, we'll start again at verse 1. I should say that we're tonight really starting the section that commences in verse 6, but because the theme of that actually has a couple of references back into the opening verses, the text, only an Irishman could do this, we're taking 6 to the end, but the text is actually in verse 2 tonight. The theme starts back there. But we're going to read from verse 1. Remember how chapter 1 ends, speaks of people who know the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death. But despite that, they continue to do those things and take pleasure in others who do them. Now verse 1 of chapter 2. Therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest doest the same things. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds. To them who by patient continuance and well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first, and also of the Gentile. But glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first, and also to the Gentile. For there is no respect of persons with God. We finish at verse 11. The Lord will add his own blessing to this reading from his own precious word for his name's sake. The central theme of this section of the book of Romans is the righteous judgment of God in holding the Jews to be as guilty as the Gentiles. Now that wasn't a message that the Jews were altogether used to hearing. Of course, if they had paid attention to their own scriptures, if they had listened to the message of the ancient prophets, they would have learned that the prophets thundered this very truth against the Jews from generation to generation. Isaiah went so far as to speak of the Jews of his day in chapter 3 and verse 9. The show of their countenance doth witness against them, and they declare their sin as Sodom, and hide it not. That was one of the most scathing indictments any Jewish prophet ever made against the Jewish people. He says they are like the man of Sodom. They are brazen in their sin. They haven't even the grace to blush or to seek to hide their sin from view. Jeremiah speaks of them as in many ways worse than the worst of the heathens. For he said, "Hath a nation changed their gods, which are yet no gods? But my people have changed their glory for that which doth not profit." And if you go through the major and the minor prophets, you will find that they do not pull their punches in describing the sins of the Israelites, but that they denounce them, they expose them, and they will not let the Jewish people hide from the awful guilt that is properly theirs. The Lord Jesus Christ also states the guilt of the Jews in no uncertain terms. And now the Apostle Paul takes up the same theme. You must understand that he doesn't single the Jews out to condemn them alone. No, he starts with the Gentiles in chapter 1 of Romans and shows that their guilt is inexcusable. There's no excuse for Gentile sin. We have already looked at chapter 1. We've seen the revelation that God has given to all men. We're going to take that up a little later here in our study of chapter 2, especially from verse 12 onwards. He starts with the Gentiles and he says, "Such is the light that God has given to the world, that they are without excuse in their sin and their wickedness. They are guilty and justly open to condemnation." But now he moves in chapter 2 to the Jews. And he says equally that their sin is inexcusable. And as we pointed out last week, their judgment inescapable. His whole point is that both Jews and Gentiles stand guilty and condemned before a holy God. And that therefore they have no hope except in the gospel of a free justification by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But while it's easy to state that doctrine, it is a doctrine that has never sat well with men. If you take your Bible and then your history book, you will find that every time that doctrine of free justification has been preached, it has raised the anger of hell. It has stirred the opposition of the devil. In the early church, it brought the apostles the hatred of both Jews and Gentiles. In the days of the Protestant reformers, it kindled the fires of persecution and led to hundreds of martyrdoms. And even in our day, it is something that is guaranteed to raise the proud hatred of man, because this is a doctrine that levels the pride of man in the dust and that says salvation is all of grace. It is all on the merits of another, and that there is nothing, and that doesn't mean almost nothing. That means there is absolutely nothing that any man may do that would merit the grace of God. Not even his faith. I don't want to get off on a tangent tonight. Faith is the hand that receives. Faith is the instrument that appropriates the saving grace of God. And faith that receives Christ is as much the gift of God as the Christ whom it receives. Faith is not the merit upon which God receives us, Christ is that merit. Faith is the gift that God gives to a palsied man to reach out and take Christ as he is freely offered in the gospel. My men hate to have all their vaunted free will, all their vaunted ability to choose, all their vaunted inherent goodness, they hate to have it all laid low in ruins and be left as a sinner, naked, guilty, filthy, condemned and undone, and dependent solely and entirely upon God and his grace for salvation. As I say, that went in the apostles' days against the natural self-righteousness of both Jews and Gentiles. The Jews particularly found it offensive. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 that therefore to them the whole doctrine of Christ crucified was a scandal. They were proud of their law. The trouble with the Jews and the law is that they had made the law entirely a matter of external performance. They had missed the spiritual inner meaning of the law. And they had especially missed the point that the law never set out to save anybody. The law sets out to show people that they need to be saved, that they cannot save themselves by keeping the law, that they need the sacrifice of a substitute, they need the righteousness of another in order to make them right with God. They had missed all that, and so they externalized and ritualized the law of God to an alarming degree. They took that which was meant to point them to Christ for life, and they tried to make it in itself the means of life. Thus, Paul condemned them. And he especially condemned them for hypocrisy. Because, you see, it takes you to be a hypocrite to come to the Ten Commandments and say, on this basis, I have made myself acceptable to God. Only a liar could say that. Only an abject hypocrite could make that claim. Because such is the holiness of God revealed in the law. Such is the righteousness of God revealed in the law. That any man with a modicum of honesty coming before the law of God, especially as it is brought to us in summary fashion in the two great commandments, Lord your God with all your heart, love your neighbor as yourself. Such is that law that any man with a modicum of honesty is bound to say, I have broken it. And far from being justified as righteous, I stand before this law as a law-breaking sinner, therefore under its condemnation. But the Jews came to an altogether different conclusion. They looked at the Gentiles and they said, they are idolaters and we are not. They bow to gods of wood and stone and we do not. They bow to gods that are no gods. We bow to the living and true God. And insofar as that went, it was true. But remember, Paul climaxed his judgment of the Gentiles in this, even by the light of nature. They know God's judgment against people who sin the way they sin. They know that. And despite that, they continue sinning and find their pleasure and give their approval to those who are sinning with them. But what happens when you turn to the Jew? The Jew knows better than anybody that people who live the way he lives is under the judgment of God. And yet he continues in that way. And he takes pleasure in those who do the same, and he gives his approval to those who do the same, and indeed he heaps his scorn upon people like the apostle who would dare to oppose him. So Paul says, to the Jew, you judge the Gentile. But you're a hypocrite. And I'm here to declare to you the judgment of God. Now, he goes on to develop that message in verse 6 and following. Remember the basic outline I gave you of this whole section of Romans. It starts in chapter 2, verse 1, and goes through to chapter 3, verse 8. Remember the simple outline in chapter 2, the first 5 verses. You have the truth of God's righteous judgment declared. In verse 6 through to verse 29 of chapter 2, you have that truth further developed. And then in chapter 3, verses 1 to 8, you have the truth of the righteous judgment of God defended against the caviling of a Jewish objector. Now, we're dealing with the second of those points, the truth of God's righteous judgment developed.
Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, founded by Dr. Alan Cairns. Let the Bible Speak is also heard in many parts of the world through the international radio outreach of Let the Bible Speak, produced in Northern Ireland. The Free Presbyterian Church stands without apology for the absolute inerrancy of the Bible, emphasizing preaching that centers on the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, and is militant in its stand against the ecumenical apostasy and the efforts of the world to infiltrate the church. For further information about the Free Presbyterian Church, you may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. You may call us at 864-244-2408. Or you may write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Again, that's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Also, we encourage you to visit the website of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America at www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelsch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.